Welcome to RIA Radio. This is going to be our first Max episode that we're going to be talking about the keynote today. But first, I want to go ahead and introduce who we got. I'm Garth Braithwaite. I'm just kind of hosting this project a little bit. Our experts that we have are Leif Wells.
Hello.
From Roundbox Global.
That's right, in Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
Yeah.
And he's not in Atlanta right now. We're in L.A.
Yeah, we're in Los Angeles in the... Is it the Los Angeles Convention Center? Is that what this is called?
Really yeah, really creative name.
Yeah, well, whatever. It works, I guess. It's very descriptive.
And Liz is making faces at us.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. Thank you, Liz.
And then we also have Zach Stepik, who is our other in-house expert. He's actually handling all our audio for us as well. But Zach is the manager of product development.
Director of Product Development.
At Influxus. I'll get it. That's a new title for me, so it takes me a little bit.
New for me, too. I'm not quite used to it yet.
So what are you doing with Influxus here while you're here?
Everything, including the VIP party tonight. A bunch of other really
Let's not
cool
talk
stuff.
About that because there's not enough passes to go around.
We just can't tell people where it is. We can talk about it, but you have to find your own way there.
Yeah.
I'll be staying a few days after to hang out at the office and talk through a few things and do some architecture work and, you know, try and lay the groundwork for what we're doing next. So, pretty cool stuff.
Would it be okay if I kind of took a second to describe where we are right now?
Oh, yes, please do.
Yeah, we're in the community lounge, which is always where typically I end up hanging out at, during Max.
We just put a microphone in front of you.
Yeah, that's really the only difference here.
Yeah,
well, that and a wired connection, don't tell anybody. Because the wireless here is kind of spotty, if you will.
If only I could get it to work.
Way over there to our right is, or to Kevin's left, depending on where you're sitting, is a couple of foosball tables and an air hockey table. So if you hear the sound of the air hockey, that's the clickety-clack thing of the discs hitting the pucks. That's actually us
playing air hockey
right now.
while we're recording this.
Yeah. That's how ambidextrous we are.
You can actually hear when the point gets scored if you listen closely.
Yes, but you can.
No, and it's really is like across the room, and these mics are like finely tuned to pick up the sound of air hockey. I think is what they're designed for.
Yeah, they're air hockey mics. We're just using them as vocal mics.
I would have to say that this is probably the largest space that we've had for the community lounge here at Max.
Hey, Leif,
it's huge.
Do you want to quiet down for a second so he can finish the introduction so people know who the other people are?
No.
All right, so we
guys hadn't spoken yet.
We're just gonna keep rambling. I'm going to tell you about what I ate today.
Yeah.
No,
you could mention my book. I don't know, maybe.
Which book is that, Zach?
I might be writing a book.
You're writing a book?
Yeah,
really?
Learning Flash Catalyst for O'Reilly.
Okay, we're done.
Okay,
We're lucky enough to have a couple of guests with us from the community, actually, which is the best part about being at Max. We've got Kevin Schmidt with us, and you can find him on Twitter at Kevin Schmidt, right?
That's Schmidt Kevin All.
Kevin All?
Yeah.
I swear you were Kevin Schmidt. What's your Twitter handle?
It's Kevin
Schmidt. Kevin All.
So what's the Schmidt?
Kevin. Tell us what the Schmidt is.
Yeah.
All right. And then we also have Chris Griffith with us. Okay. These are Twitter people that sometimes we don't get to meet, and that's one of the cool parts about the conference. And good to know that Kevin actually got a pass to Max. Yes.
Yeah.
So the pleading, the campaigning, it panned out. So the squeaky wheel gets the grease. But we want to talk a little bit about what happened at the keynote. More importantly, the announcements that were made. We had an interview that we pre-recorded with Justin.
Everett Church.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And he is the senior product manager for the Flash Player. So we'll talk about all that stuff, which was a huge piece of the keynote.
Yes.
But we want to talk about more of the social cultural stuff that happened at the keynote. First of all, it started out with the CEO of Adobe that no one remembers the name of.
Shantanu.
I know. But really, he knows that he gets off the stage because Kevin
Lynch
comes on shortly after, and everyone is like, oh, yeah, that guy. Now I remember him.
Yeah.
So
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, which is cool. But
I was kind of disappointed that Shantanu didn't break into dance with the Peapod kids.
With the Peapod kids.
I think from Adobe Voices.
That was entertaining, but I don't think that most of the audience knew exactly what are we supposed to be clapping along with the music? What are we supposed to be doing?
And I loved how he said, everyone chant with me. He was
no one did.
No one did.
You look around and everyone is quiet.
Yeah. Like, these are computer nerds. They don't. All right. They don't.
They're Twittering, connect, discover, inspire. Exactly. They're not saying it.
Yeah. I have to admit that last year the DJ was a little bit more entertaining to listen to.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. So, yeah, then Kevin Lynch came out. He did a bunch of stuff with the mobile devices, the Flash platform. Very cool things.
He blew our minds.
He did blow our minds. And then after that, we had the Lifecycle guy come up. Who was...
I thought the Omniture guy came up after.
Yeah, it was Omniture.
Yeah.
It was
Omniture. The new senior vice president of douchiness for Adobe.
But, the Twitter stream was all about his shirt choice. I don't know what that was about.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Yeah, everyone was doubting his ability to choose shirts.
All right, so Kevin, tell us about the Omniture announcement.
Apparently Adobe purchased Omniture, which I'd never heard of before they purchased it, so...
Well, the thing is that I was told that we can't talk about the merger buyout because the details aren't finalized yet. So they technically haven't purchased
them.
But, yeah, it's still pending
they're
acquisition.
They're in the process of purchasing them.
Well, I thought that the new CEO of Omniture had a lot of money from it. You know, we would have.
That's probably what they're working out is he wants more.
Yeah.
$100,000 web page. What?
Yeah.
But what I've understood is that the company itself hasn't actually turned a profit.
That wouldn't surprise me.
That's been my understanding.
Zach, it's 2009. I don't know a lot of companies that are doing that right now.
Yeah.
I mean, in general.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Economic, climate aside.
I thought it was interesting that they had him on the
day one keynote.
Yeah, exactly. And they didn't have anyone from Business Catalyst, which I thought was an equally large acquisition. I thought it was equally as important, but apparently
I
not.
I wouldn't say equally large in company size or anything like that. Omniture is a pretty big company, and a lot of the major agencies use them, have for years, and a lot of big digital interactive companies are using Omniture for tracking everything. So I understand why. I understand the how. I understand exactly who's involved with it. I didn't understand everything Omniture did until today. I always thought of them just as a web analytics company.
Right.
Evidently, they're a lot more than just that.
Right.
I think that's why they were on the front keynote, because I think a lot of people are like, who are these people, and why did they just drop all this cash on them?
Right.
So it's like,
right.
Okay, we're going to answer it here.
Okay.
Right. It's like,
right.
I think the bottom line with any kind of purchase like this is that you won't be able to tell within 3 years whether that's a worthwhile purchase. And it's either going to be, wow, that was a great purchase 3 years ago, or we did what 3 years ago?
Right.
So it's going to be one of those two things.
It's just going to be a matter of waiting and seeing what Adobe actually does with it.
Right.
So I have actually a couple friends. I actually went to school at BYU. So I have a couple friends that they graduated and went straight to working for Omniture. So
really?
They get to do some cool stuff. But what the company does as a whole, I've never actually used the product. So
yeah.
So just a recap of what they talked to us about this morning. They talked about changing the front page of site based on visitors, about optimizing landing pages based on use cases. They talked about how their reservation service is being used, or their recommendation service, I should say, is being used by StubHub to increase sales. Optimizing ad spends, which I knew they did that part. eBay, that was an interesting story. They had that holy grail of a front page that nobody wanted to touch because they were afraid of breaking it.
Right.
And then Omniture went in, and with their analytics product, they were able to look at things in 10-minute intervals and try and figure it out.
But those things are cool and everything, but they don't seem like they're part of a product. Those seem like a consulting role. Mm-hmm. That seems like...
They're all powered by individual products. So
okay.
There's a product that they use for the analytics for testing that new homepage at 10-minute intervals where it was only up for a short period of time and only to new users. They were able to go in and test and see how new versions of that homepage, that landing page, perform with very small groups of people by just pushing it live.
Let me preface what I'm about to say with the fact that I don't know anything about what Omniture does or how they do it. But it seems to me like something like this would be very difficult to productize because it's going to be slightly different with every potential customer.
Again, that kind of goes back to my thought, is it feels more like a consulting
business.
It seems like a service more than a product.
But at the same time, I mean, Omniture does bring a lot of people to the table, right? There are a lot of really big clients that Omniture services, and
that's
those
true.
Clients could be useful in the space that Adobe is in.
But we are seeing Adobe moving into the services space.
Yes.
So that's just part of the whole package.
Now, right. Now I just have to ask one question here.
Just one?
What the hell was he talking about with consummating the marriage between Adobe and Omniture?
I don't know. It had to do with market penetration.
Oh,
we saw that Twitter.
Yes. No, my whole thing with it was he went on for way too long.
Yes.
He made it all about himself.
Yes.
If he wanted to, I think, to get the respect of the people in the audience, he would have come up and said, hey, you know, looking forward to working with Adobe.
Right.
This is kind of what we do in a nutshell.
Right.
We're excited about it. If you want to learn more, come to our booth because we've
right.
got like the biggest one in the
yeah.
in the,
right.
the area here.
But
so.
The you know, he's a CEO. I don't think he's used to not being the main focus of a keynote. So that's tough. You get kind of the blowhards up on the stage together, and it's.
And that's the difference with Shantanu is he doesn't really do that.
No, he doesn't. That's what's really nice.
Shantanu
does
a drive-by, and it's awesome. It's always awesome.
Yeah,
he always stays the right amount of time.
Exactly.
And he always says the right things. He's ready to say the right things. And that's what I love about Shantanu.
He's not the figurehead.
No.
He's actually the day-to-day operations guy.
Well, he says what this
really cool.
He says what the stockholders need to hear.
That's true, too. That's true, too.
And he lets Kevin do the tech.
Yeah.
And Ben do his thing, and
he knows that Max is about the users and the tech. It's not about the shareholders at this time.
The last CEO who did the giant, hey, look at me, I do cool things at a Max was Bruce Chizik.
Yeah.
And he was gone the next year.
Yeah.
I don't know how many of you remember that story. We went and saw Dave Matthews Band, and I was backstage hanging out with Dave Matthews, and that was a keynote story.
Are you dropping names? Is that what you're doing?
He's telling a story.
No, he's telling a story about what he did.
I didn't do that.
No.
But I know Bruce Chizen did because he chose to share that during a keynote.
That was what, Chicago?
Yeah, I think that was Chicago.
Yeah, that was Chicago.
That was special.
Yeah, that was a really interesting time.
I'm not so sure I was sober for that keynote.
If you're a CEO and you're listening to our podcast, first of all, thank you.
Yes.
Second of all,
send us money.
We're looking
for sponsors.
What were you thinking?
Okay. Second of all,
you can buy our opinion.
Sponsorship is awesome, but third of all, don't talk about yourselves. We don't want to know anything about your personal life. We want to know what your company does.
If we're throwing this out there, can I also throw out Steve Ballmer? Stop yelling, please. Please stop yelling.
Developers love being addressed. Quietly.
Yeah.
You don't need
and without
to scream
big,
our
sweaty
name.
Pits.
Oh, so gross.
I mean, I know you want to say our name, Steve, but let's just...
Developers.
It probably wouldn't bother me so much if he ever was a developer.
Very true.
You know, that's one of the things, again, that I love about Kevin Lynch is he was a developer. He still does develop.
Yeah.
So, you know,
we had a very interesting conversation, actually, about HyperCard on an escalator. Kevin Lynch and I, last year. In San Francisco, we were talking about HyperCard. I mean, he's been a programmer forever.
I'm waiting for them to do an ActionScript port of HyperCard. That'll be great.
I found a port of HyperCard the other day.
Really?
That works multi-platform. I'll share that with you later.
All right. Sounds good. Interesting. All right. So after that, we had the Lifecycle guy. What was his name?
Well, after that, we talked a little bit about Flash Pro, Flash Catalyst, and Flash Builder tooling.
Oh,
and how they're all going to work together now.
It's a good thing that Zach has notes over there. Otherwise, we'd be all off.
Yeah.
I was busy tweeting. What are you talking about? I wasn't paying attention.
We talked about Flash Media Server and how there's DVR features in Flash Media Server 3.5.
Right.
And then we talked about Lifecycle ES2 for a little bit, but we moved off of that for a moment. They did mention it would be available by the end of the year. They came back to it later. Talked about Cold Fusion 9 being released today at Max. Technically, it was released last night at
9 o'clock.
Midnight Eastern, which would have been 9 o'clock here in LA.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, that's definitely one of my favorites for the week.
What's your favorite feature? New feature?
I like the ORM stuff.
Oh, really?
Or the being able to code completely in CFScript.
I love the ORM features.
Getting away from the
tag-based coding to more script-based, so it's a little bit more programming-like, if you want to call it that.
It's funny, because that's exactly what Flex was like. When Flex first came out, it's all about how awesome MXML were, but then the hardcore developers still just went straight to ActionScript.
Right. So I like ORM. I like being able to do an entity load, then do an entity to query, and then populate a CF select in like three lines of code. That's really cool. CF9 is really neat. And that was the thing that they mentioned there.
Now, interesting, though, I want to bring this up, is they talked a little bit about cloud computing, putting both Lifecycle and Cold Fusion in the cloud, and they made it sound like it's going to be an Adobe service that we purchase from Adobe. Is that...
I've heard rumors that it's all going to be done through Amazon.
S3? They sent out a survey, I think it was to the people on the Cold Fusion beta, about how we would want to use Cold Fusion as a cloud service.
Right.
And they said, where would you like to be, and how would you like to pay for it? You want to pay by the minute or as a plan, or a whole bunch of different options to get the opinion on how to market Cold Fusion in the cloud. So
I took one of those surveys. It was one of the longest, most annoying surveys
ever.
It
was horrible.
And it's like, choose between these two. I'm like, I don't want to pay any money.
Yeah, I want it to be free.
I want it free. That's what I was waiting for, because when they bring up Cold Fusion and Lifecycle in a keynote, I mean, Cold Fusion's awesome. Lifecycle, though, I was expecting them to be like, and we've drastically reduced the price. Didn't happen. Yeah. So
you no longer have to sacrifice your firstborn child. They have a Lifecycle installation.
Yeah, now it's just the second, so you're good.
Right.
Well, so, I mean, there are people that were disappointed that the Cold Fusion price didn't come down. So.
Right.
It's really, honestly, if you think about Cold Fusion's price, though, it's not that high for what you get.
No, certainly not.
Yeah, but certainly that's not. It's more a matter of a principle for a lot of people. They'd much rather go with an open source solution, and they do, even with Cold Fusion. They'd rather go with...
Blue Dragon?
Rilo?
Right, whatever. Blue there's Dragon. There's a few options, right? So they'd rather do that, and they'd rather go with a PHP or a Ruby or whatever, just because they're open source solutions. So.
And unfortunately, I think a lot of those people sell themselves way short, because they're not being able to use features in a language that's way easier to use. That's way more robust.
That's actually a problem that some people have with Cold Fusion, is they feel like it's too easy. If it's easy, then you must be doing something wrong.
I think anytime you're going to put a caveat on something that it has to be open source or I'm not going to use it, I think it just shows how close-minded you are.
Yeah. Which is ironic.
That's the same as the people who say they're not going to use Flash because it's
closed.
It's proprietary.
And speaking of Flash.
Okay, sorry, keep going.
Flash Platform Services. So it looks like Kokomo, which was the Adobe
Flash collaboration service.
Or AFCS.
Yes.
Is now Lifecycle Collaboration
Services.
So it was.
So that means it's
going to
be really expensive.
Yeah. AFCS, Lifecycle Collaboration Services.
Let's throw Acrobat and Pro on there, and we've got a winner.
Exactly. Yeah.
Distribution services through Gigya.
Okay. Yeah, I saw some of that. Now that looks really interesting, and I'm surprised they didn't harp on it more. But the ability for people to monetize their development I mean, if we can get that off the ground, that's really what the iPhone has that people want in the Flash community is. This guy's making a bunch of money, and I made the exact same app, and I get jack off of it because I did it in Flash.
Well, the monetization went even a step further than that, though, because they also talked about introducing try and buy for air applications today, too.
Right.
And so they're working on a service for try and buy for air apps, which is perfect.
Now, all they need to do is actually come up with a good store, because the one that they have...
The air marketplace is pretty good, but it's not great.
It's not pushed. It's not pushed at all. People aren't like, oh, I got a new computer. Let me go look at what apps I can install.
I'm kind of interested into it. I don't know if we've gotten to it or not, but how they're going to protect the content for the Flash applications. They mentioned that was coming, that you would be able to, I don't know, encrypt it or what?
Some sort of DRM.
Yeah, that they'd have a little more DRM in the Flash player. And they didn't really talk about what exactly is powering that, but it's a technology stack called Flash Access, and it's actually based on what used to be Adobe Flash Media Rights Management Server.
Which is another great name.
Yes. We need at least five
word names for all our products, I think.
AFM RMS. It was not that hard. AFM RMS.
I used to can play bingo at the AFM RMS.
All right. So what else we got? What do we have next?
After payment and monetization, they went into social networking and integrating with APIs like Facebook, and how that's all going to be part of the Flash platform services stack, adding social features to your application. Being able to connect to your friends, you know, they said there was a joke made about how you're not making a real application unless it connects to your Facebook friends or something like that.
Okay.
Until the next fad comes along and Facebook dies like MySpace did.
I don't know if I really like a lot of my Facebook friends.
Yeah.
That was the problem actually I have with Palm Pre. One of the problems is that like wants to connect your address book with Facebook.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to talk to half these people. I just added them so that they don't get mad at me.
Or no, you added them to look and see what they're doing and what they've made of themselves. That's the only reason I add half the people.
That's so true. You're like, oh, I went to kindergarten with this guy. I wonder what he's doing.
Exactly.
I am so divorcing myself from this conversation.
So the next piece we talked about was Flash Player, and we'll get back to that later when we talk with Justin.
Oh, real quick, I did want to... we have Chris, and he's from Qualcomm. It's his day job. He did do a really cool app for Macs. You want to talk about that real quick?
Talk about that.
So, back in June, Ted Patrick tweeted out, hey, here are the JSON URLs to the sessions, the speakers, and the rooms. And I'm like, why the hell did you do that? And, like, wait a second. That's the holy grail of actually doing a schedule application.
Certainly.
So, I'm like, you know, let me see if I can build something. So... for some reason, I got a wild idea to do it. So I built a flashlight version, which, you know, for the three of us who have flashlight-enabled phones.
Ecstatic.
Or the hundreds of thousands of Verizon users who don't know they have a flash-enabled phone.
That's true.
Yeah. It's a secret.
It's a secret. Well, AT&T, too. So you can actually see, you know, what was the Mac schedule until they dropped all the bombs and the keynote ran late and all the schedule times went all to hell. You can actually see the schedule on your device. Also made an iPhone version that's just a web app. So, you know, if the connectivity here at the convention center actually, you know, worked, you could actually see what the hell was going on.
Right.
So, there's a whole other problem.
A whole other problem. Yeah. So,
yeah, but as it is, they don't want you to know what's going on. So
that's true.
Installed Wi-Fi for 5 users.
Nice.
Well, last year it was only for 4, wasn't it? I mean, every year it's horrible.
They have improved it by 1 user.
By one user. But that's about it.
I still remember waking up early in Vegas just like so I can get online for like 10 minutes before everyone else woke up and the network went down.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So it's just a real simple app. There is a way, I guess there are some trouble, but I found a way to actually get your schedule. So it's kind of like the last walled garden I could quite...
Oh, cool.
So using the iCal URL that was on the schedule, it's like, if you scroll down to the bottom, it's like, that's more to iCal. Like, what the hell is this? And I found a parser for that, compared that against the JSON data, and attempted to find out your session IDs.
Right.
Okay.
From that, then I can give you my schedule. So that's kind of what you really want. It's like, where the hell do I need to be? So...
awesome.
Yeah, Ted mentioned that sometime they're going to have to do an API so that other people could do apps. Because the scheduler app is always poo. They always try to do something good.
You know what the biggest problem with the scheduler app? It's not their fault.
It's built in Flex?
No. The biggest problem is that there's so many sessions.
No, that's true.
And that's a UI nightmare.
I love that everything, that they build things in Flex.
Right.
But there are certain things that I'd be fine with straight HTML text. Certain things that I'm okay with. Anyway, that's a whole other thing.
Well, my biggest gripe was, could you at least skin it for when it starts up? You don't see the flash of teal. I mean, no, that one, guys.
Yeah. If it looks like the Flex Loader, then...
I like the Flex Loader.
Oh. Okay. I love the new Spark Loader because it looks like nothing. It's just like this white bar floating in the middle of nowhere. Love it. Anyway, Chris, can you mention publicly what Qualcomm has announced with Adobe? Obviously, we can't have you speak for Qualcomm, but you should at least know a little bit about the news that we don't.
Not without risking getting fired, which we don't want.
No, no.
We can distort your voice afterwards.
Okay. So,
after you mention his name.
Twice.
We'll now refer to you as Craig.
The following information is not being given to us by Chris. It is being given to us by Craig, his evil half-brother?
Something like
that'll
that.
That'll work.
Okay.
So Qualcomm has a chipset known as Snapdragon. It's one of our high-end chipsets. It's designed for smartphones and the netbooks, smart books, as we like to call them. So
Some of them are smart.
Some of them are smart.
Some of them don't have to do with the chipset. They have more to do with the operating system, but I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. So, very true. So, very true. Yeah. You know, not going there.
Okay. Please don't.
Many partners. But anyway, so one of the announcements was that, yes, Paul Jacobs, our CEO, was, you know, graciously up there and talking about how, yes, Flash is coming on to that chipset, you know, in some fashion. So, I mean, Qualcomm and Adobe go way back. I mean, you know, transcoding Flash Lite content into Brew content for the Verizon people has been there. We're bringing Flash, you know, slowly into what's known as the Brew Mobile platform, and the chipset's just another extension of where we're going for it. So.
Okay. And when we say integration, we're talking about offsetting some hardware, offsetting some of the processing to the hardware. So
that's my understanding. I mean, this QCT, which is a whole other division,
right?
So we get to occasionally hear from them.
Okay.
So they're the money makers.
All right. Well, that's what we're hoping for. We're hoping for full HD content being able to run on just about anything that uses like half a watt of power.
Hey, you know, Qualcomm's all about mobility, and the more we can do in the low power, I mean, that's what the chip was designed for.
So. Maybe we'll finally get those watches.
Oh, you know? The Dick Tracy watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it turns out they're really ugly, and no one would wear them, so, yeah. Yeah. All right, so then what do we have left on the, that we... I just wanted to throw that in there while we were skipping over the Flash platform.
For a while there, we went Enterprise, and half the crowd went...
We did cover some Enterprise stuff. Before we got there, though, we went through Air 2.0.
Right? Oh, right. That was cool.
Yeah. And so USB storage drive detection.
Which is nice.
Performance increases, especially in memory utilization. The one number they did quote is that TweetDeck uses 35% less RAM in Air 2.0.
That'll be nice.
So, yeah, for those of you who use TweetDeck,
it kills my
prepare
computer.
To be able to run Photoshop at the same time, finally.
Nice.
Now, we went through a lot of the features of Air 2.0 already in a previous podcast because it was what Mike Chambers talked about at Flash on the Beach.
Yep.
But one thing that we didn't talk about was the installer.
Native installer support. I've got a note here on that one. So the native installers, you can package and create an installer that's native to your operating system.
Which is really cool about that is if you want to bundle it with another application or another background. So if you wanted to have maybe a Java application that was able to actually get access to some of the lower level stuff that you can't in there.
Like, say, installing Merapi with your
exactly.
Air application.
Right. Then you'd be able to have one installer that installed that as well as silently installing the Air application that would be able to be the front layer, which would be really nice because Air by itself, although they're enabling some cooler stuff, it really is not a full, complete desktop application yet. So
the one caveat I've seen to native installers is that they require the Air runtime to already be installed, from what I've seen so far.
But that comes with Acrobat Reader now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It does?
Yeah. Yeah. If you've
I had not noticed that.
Yeah,
that's
if you've
cool.
got Reader, you should have Air as well.
Wow.
That's back since, I think, the early editions of Acrobat Reader 9, so it's been a while.
I did not know that.
Now, the other thing they talked about was launching native applications.
Which is cool. Really cool.
Which is really cool.
Yeah, Kevin
launching,
showed...
default apps. Yeah. Premiere.
Yeah, he showed a video being launched by Premiere and being able to show an icon of Premiere with the associating an icon with the actual file inside Air.
Yeah, he actually showed plugging a Flip video camera into the computer that Air was running on, having Air detect that with the USB storage device detection, show what was on it, and then being able to open the video in Premiere and play it from Premiere. It was really pretty cool.
The one thing that we have to say on that, again, we mentioned this in the previous one, is when it launches applications, it can only launch applications by opening a program or opening a file that then opens up that application.
Yeah, you can't just open the app and nothing else.
Yes.
You have to open a file that's in the app.
Yeah, it will not have access to the applications folder.
Right. Now, other things, socket server support for multi-user collaborative applications. UDP support, accessibility improvements, and microphone support. Now, this was a pretty big one, being able to get the data from a microphone as it's coming in to the application.
I'm pretty sure.
Record it locally.
They showed a little app, and I'm pretty sure Renan created that application. He was talking about it yesterday. He said, I'm not sure if they'll use it or not, but the way he described it, it really looked like that was the app that he had created. So shout out to Renan for being awesome.
Yeah.
He
now
is
they,
awesome,
they
no
also
doubt.
He
if
is
it,
definitely awesome.
If it wasn't him, he's still awesome.
That's true too.
They showed that League of Legends massively multiplayer online role playing game. Which was kind of weird, but it's kind of cool to see Air being used in that context as the front-end interface for a game.
And he did mention that someday we want to make it so that the whole game could run in there.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, what's that, version 14 or something? But that's cool. It's not
that's
designed that way
that
yet.
That's the version that reintegrates Shockwave.
We bring Shockwave back.
Well, I had to laugh when I heard about the UDP support and the socket stuff. Like, oh, wait, Director Multi-User Server lives.
Pretty much.
You know, it's like I heard that. I'm like, you know what? The last lone director developer just died.
We're kicking it old school here.
Yeah. I'm wearing my recovering lingo developer button. Yeah. So.
Recovering.
Recovering, yeah.
Well, that's good.
You don't have many other options right now.
Is that a 12-step program?
It has been. It has been.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm about step 9.
You still occasionally use?
I haven't touched it in about 2 years. I had to make a kiosk for a conference and like, should I try to do this in Air or Director? Oh, screw it. I'll do it in Director.
Nice.
That way they didn't feel guilty when they bought me the copy at work. So I'm like, oh, no, I used it.
So you haven't fallen off the wagon since, though?
No, I haven't. Okay.
We're going to wrap this up because we got to get to the big one.
Yeah, we finally get to the big stuff, which was...
the one more thing.
We have the life cycle stuff.
I was hoping somebody would say that.
And one more thing.
Yeah.
And one more thing.
We've got the life cycle stuff, so... first, before we get to lifecycle, though, Cold Fusion developer growth, over 750,000 Cold Fusion developers now.
Only four of them are employed, though.
Right.
Oh! A tough crowd. Right.
Now, that's a...
Those are the four that are using the Wi-Fi.
Tripled, though, over the last few years. Yeah. So, there's a lot of growth in the Cold Fusion developer community. Cold Fusion Builder Beta is out on Labs, Beta 2.
And let's take a moment to remind everyone that the Flash Builder and the Flash Catalyst Beta 2s are available on
labs.adobe.com. Labs.adobe.com. Lifecycle Mosaic, building integrated applications with HTML, Ajax, and Flex.
I love that they said it's not for building portals, but it totally was a portal.
Yeah,
I know
it is.
Yeah. This is not a portal. Ben, that's a portal.
This is not a portal. This is a collaborative
application.
But
it's a whole single application.
Then it's a portal.
It's a portal.
Lifecycle Collaboration Service we already talked about. Lifecycle Launchpad, which is an Air app for launching into processes through Lifecycle. Lifecycle Workspace Mobile. Lifecycle Plugin for Flash Builder. And the ability to deploy to the cloud.
Yay, cloud. The clouds are pretty.
All right, then we got to Johnny, right?
Not quite yet.
Oh, actually. Come on.
Adobe TV. Talked about the rebuild of Adobe TV and how it's all running on Cold Fusion 9 now.
That's great.
Yeah. Adobe at Adobe, the program conceived by Adobe's CIO.
Eat your own dog food.
Exactly. Yep. They should have called that program dog food. It would have been much better.
Codename dog food.
Exactly.
They talked
champagne.
Right.
The address app working.
The Adobe Employee Directory. Yeah. They talked about that working for the Obama administration right now.
Which means, once it goes to government, that means it works well, right?
Exactly.
I think so, yeah. I think it actually works more efficiently now.
It's powered by hope.
Yes.
Yes.
Change in hope.
Definitely. Ooh, you should trademark that phrase.
Powered by hope.
Powered by hope.
All right. Now, if only I cared about something to push.
All right.
The Adobe HR Manager. That was this is not a portal. It's a composite app built with
a brand new
framework.
It's a space station.
It's called a portal built with Lifecycle Mosaic.
Yeah.
Then we got to Johnny L. And he did
thank God.
He did a Photoshop demo. What did you guys think about the liquid-based color
mixing
in Photoshop?
They the actual brush, the difference in
the
3D
natural
brush
media stuff
and,
with
and
3D
the mixing
brush.
Of color.
There's gonna
brush.
There's gonna get a point where you're like, okay, if you really like painting that much, you
buy
need to
an
be painting.
Easel,
yeah,
and some paint.
Yeah, I love the undo factor of it, but you know, there's anyway. I think that's cool and everything, but Photoshop is totally going into everything that it could ever possibly do.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's kind of hard
it already
to add.
Was everything in the kitchen sink.
Yeah,
now
exactly.
It's,
it's kind of hard to add
five or six kitchen
that's,
sinks.
That's on its, what, 11th or 12th
It still
iteration.
Seems pretty minimal compared to, like, CS4 when they showed off some of the cool stuff with that. The whole being able to do the content-aware scaling. And then this year it's I can paint.
Well, then, and that's the only feature they showed. There's
You're
way
right.
more. He did say that there's way more.
Okay, I'm
oh,
waiting.
I'm sure there is.
Flash Pro demo. Talked about the Flash Text Engine, the text layout framework in
I
Flash
love
Pro.
I love the text layout framework.
Yeah, that's really cool stuff. Physics in IK.
Yeah.
So inverse
the
kinematics shot, now.
The Shantanu bobblehead doll.
Yeah, the Shantanu bobblehead
pretty
was great.
Awesome.
That was a good time.
Yeah, don't be confused, though. That's not a physics engine in the Flash player. That's just a physics engine for the Flash Pro for the timeline. So Flex developers, we don't have access to that. You can't do it through ActionScript. It's just through the timeline, which is my least favorite part of Flash.
Wow.
And then continuing on, code snippets.
Yeah, code snippets.
Code snippets in Flash Pro. The ability to apply a behavior to an object and have it write the code for that behavior.
This is where I remind Adobe that they really need to do something about getting people to use ActionScript 3. And hopefully the snippets will help, but there's a lot more that they need to do because there's a lot of people who are frankly scared to death of ActionScript 3 and they're missing out on so much.
Well, now that Flash Lite will be biting the dust. Well, not biting the dust, but upgrading from Flash Lite to Flash Player.
10-1, huh?
Yeah. It's a big jump, 3 to 10. We're happy. We're happy another reason to have ActionScript 3 somewhere else.
Yeah,
so
maybe someday we'll get
Flash Media Server.
Yeah, to get rid of its server-side ActionScript, whatever it is.
I don't mind if they leave it still, just as long as I don't ever have to go back to ActionScript 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to leave ActionScript 1 and Flash Media Server as a topic for another day, because we'll have to have Jerry back on for that one.
Okay.
Okay, after that we talked about Flash Catalyst. And, of course, I'm excited about Flash Catalyst. I'm only writing the book.
Are you writing a book on Flash Catalyst?
Yeah, I'm writing a book on Flash Catalyst.
Who are you writing that for?
I'm writing that for O'Reilly.
Oh, really?
Actually, yeah. It's called Learning Flash Catalyst.
I had no idea.
No, we haven't talked about it at all in the last 13 weeks.
Okay.
And if you can't wait for the book, you can read a few of my articles on Inside RA. So, you know,
yeah,
it's all good. You know.
Either way. So, what we saw today was we saw animation in Flash Catalyst with a easing effect. So we saw animation with a bounce. We saw the video player in Flash Catalyst.
Yes.
Now, I've used this, and they gave away discs, I guess, at the back. We went out the door where they were not giving away discs.
Yeah.
We'll have to remedy that later.
Yeah.
But since they gave away discs, I can say that I don't fully like the video workflow in Flash Catalyst yet. You add a video to your library, and then you have to drag the video out to get a video player. I want to be able to go into the wireframe components, grab a video player, and drag it onto my design.
Yeah.
So that seems to be a hole to me right now.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I think everything else looks really good. The integration with Flash Created Swifts, the ability to add an action that goes to and plays from a frame in a Swift that's embedded in your Catalyst app is pretty cool too. And then we went from there to kind of a big topic, Flash Player on iPhone.
That's not a big topic at all.
No, because Flash Player is not there, but Flash apps are.
Well, it was really cool that they did the Myth Hackers.
The Mythbusters
takeoff. It looked like they had a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah, Kevin Lynch and Johnny L blowing things up.
I wish they actually did blow
explosions.
Them up. They're really cheesy fake explosions.
Yeah. But, you know, they have a low budget for that kind of thing. But they did put an iPhone in a blender. Yeah,
It looked like they broke quite a few iPhones. They drove over it with the bulldozer.
No, the steamroller.
Steamroller.
The steamroller.
Yeah, embedding Flash into the iPhone with a steamroller. Yeah. That was a good one.
Car battery.
Blender. Oh, yeah,
that was true.
Blender plus iPhone plus Flash binaries on CD. That was a good one. You know, that was fun.
But finally, but the end result was
we have the ability now in future versions of Flash and Flex and other products.
Well,
Flash CS5 is what's been announced.
Okay, that's all we know. Yeah, just clarify that so far.
Yeah, that's all they've said. I'm guessing that if they're doing a device target for Flash Pro, they're probably going to do it for everything else. But we don't know anything.
Now there was a question here whether this would be. Because you can compile out to an iPhone app, but there was a question of whether that would work on a PC. Because at this time, you cannot use a PC to develop iPhone applications. You can only use Xcode, which is a Mac-only product. So Ryan apparently tweeted back...
Ryan Stewart?
Stewart.
Okay.
Apparently tweeted back that it actually compiles not... It doesn't turn it into an Xcode project. It compiles it to an iPhone application that you could upload to the iPhone, the Apple Store, iTunes Store. So okay. You don't need a Mac, which is a win-lose kind of thing, because it also means that you wouldn't be able to use existing Xcode projects or libraries or anything like that.
Right.
You're either going to go Xcode all the way or ActionScript all the way. So I hope there might be a change there that you'd be able to access some of the iPhone UI components and things like that. I'm actually going to see. I'm curious to see how long it's going to take people to just clone the Apple UI components in ActionScript. So
yeah, that'd be an interesting theme to see.
Yeah.
They could totally do it. There's no reason why they could.
Yeah, I mean, there are already firework components out there, so just pull them in and you're done.
You just got to add the behaviors to it. So,
and with the code snippets, you're done.
Yeah. Right. And it's basically all compiling to run native on the iPhone. That's really the end result here.
Yeah. Basically, it's a transcoding situation.
ActionScript 3, too.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
So you got to learn it, boys and girls. Yep. You got to learn it.
Apple's going to hate Flash so much, though. They're going to get so many crappy apps. There's just going to be this complete influx of people. Because there was at least a limitation, a barrier of people who just refused to learn Objective-C. That's not there anymore. People who have been doing ActionScript stuff are going to create the crappiest apps. There's going to be some good ones. But we're gonna have. They're gonna be so.
Yeah. If you thought waiting 3 weeks to get your app approved was bad, now wait until the flood hits.
Oh yeah.
Exactly.
So.
And that'll happen about tomorrow.
Well,
it'll take a few weeks, I'm sure.
No. Well, we won't have access to this.
There's no builds yet.
Yeah. They did say that we'll have access to a public beta, at the end of the year. So whether that will have the full support with the iPhone built into it or not, we don't know.
Now, what they did show is how we get there, and it's just a publish preference.
Yeah, when you go to publish the Swift, you don't publish a Swift, you publish an iPhone app.
Yeah,
interesting.
That's really cool. Beyond that, you know, we saw the South Park Avatar creator.
Yes.
Yay.
That was kind of cool.
So there are several iPhone apps that are on the App Store.
They said they have eight
that have been built with this process. Yep. So
you
that's,
know what
that's
I thought was
cool.
Kind of exciting?
Tell me.
The Kinect Pro application.
Oh, yeah. See,
on
the
iPhone.
Yeah, for the iPhone.
I thought it was cool on Android and Palm Pre, too.
Yeah.
They did show both.
Yeah, well, he showed it on the Palm Pre.
Running.
And I thought it was funny that they didn't actually log into the one on the iPhone. So I wonder how well that's working if they didn't want to show it. I know he said, we already showed this before. We don't need to see it again.
Yeah, it may have just been
I need to see everything,
redundancy.
Though.
Yeah. It may be an issue of the thing doesn't work. We don't know yet.
It could just not be finished.
And we'll get back to you with that later today, hopefully, in another podcast episode after we've had a chance to test it out after downloading it.
We'll see. No, I don't think that one's available.
You don't think that one's up there?
I don't think that one's up there.
There are eight of them. They said they were launching all as many of them as they could today. So,
it wouldn't surprise me that some of them might not be, you know, prime time.
Well, we are currently searching, I think.
Yeah, with this data connection, it'll be great.
Yeah.
Really quick.
Fabulous.
We'll see. The question is, how well will the Flash player be able to get into the lower level device? Can I get my camera? Can I get my GPS? What are the API calls into things like that, as opposed to, you're sandboxed.
Right.
Yeah. Which has always been the problem, like, over the Flash Lite side, unless you went with, like, Kuner, or, you know, or used some stuff from Nokia to break out of Flash itself to touch the device.
Interesting.
Yeah. So how are you going to get outside of player itself?
We don't have Kinect.
No, not yet.
The only Adobe Systems Incorporated application that's on there is the Adobe Lifecycle application, which
Lifecycle Mobile.
It is, it's the ability to tap into the tasks and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
which they did announce that one today too.
Yes,
so.
They did.
Yeah, and someone found that. I saw it tweeted by Juan Sanchez yesterday or the day before. So he had found
yesterday.
Yeah, he had found this yesterday. But yeah, it's
now
just,
the Just Letters demo didn't work on the iPhone.
No.
The Avatar Creator did. There are things that are available today, though, on the App Store. So if you go out there, you don't know now if you're downloading a Flash app or if you're downloading an app that was created in Xcode.
Yeah, and that's going to be the thing, though, is how quickly they can port over some of those UI elements, because at that point, you won't be able to tell the difference, which is the holy grail for me, is being able to do it in ActionScript. Personally, I'm fine with Flash not being in the browser on the iPhone. I kind of like people having to break away from Flash for doing certain things. Because sometimes it's used in the wrong places. I have to admit, I'm annoyed with Flash banners, and I'm happy not to have them. So, but being able to use them in native applications, that's what I want Flash for. And it seems to me that this, being able to compile ActionScript into an iPhone application, this is Adobe saying, okay, we have done everything we can. If Apple doesn't want to play with us, then we will do this, and this is the last thing that we can do without Apple's cooperation. So,
well, that with the Open Screen Project and Google and Palm and RIM and everybody being on board, well, all of those people, Qualcomm, being on board as well, that really, I mean, I'm not saying it puts pressure on Apple. Apple's, you know, sitting pretty. But it does put them in a position where, okay, all these other phones are going to have the Flash player on it. Perhaps we should. And, of course, I at the same time, I also don't think Steve Jobs would even consider it.
No, so. I don't think so.
So I would love for it to happen. I hope for it to happen someday. But right now, I just don't see it happening.
No, we have him on the podcast later, so we can ask him.
Oh, okay, Steve Jobs.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, he's just coming.
Bye. Are we going to get to see his pancreas?
Yeah, I think he's going to bring it.
Okay, cool.
In a jar.
Cool.
In
a
jar.
It's a little shriveled these days.
Okay. It'll be good.
Probably looks kind of like my liver right about now.
Oh, after being here for several days.
Yes.
You got here early. I'd only,
this
got,
was
only
day
got here
one.
On Sunday.
Well, I've been here since Friday.
So. Oh, okay. You had to get things started.
Oh, yes.
Well, he had the adult con and the comic con to go to. Yeah. So, you know, he had to sort all that out.
Again, I wonder why Stacy had to miss this conference.
So finally, the big thing that I really enjoyed was the preview to Avatar.
Avatar, yeah,
that was just wow.
Now,
I mean,
we
the
can't
three
tell you
the 3D,
what exactly it was.
The 3D,
we can tell you the 3D was amazing.
Oh, it was so cool.
They did show some really cool clips from the story, and you probably would be able to guess a lot of it from watching just the previews out there. But you get to see some more in depth stuff. And just watching just the straight footage and how much work must have gone into doing that.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. I mean, like the environments where everything was digital.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Being able to see some of the process behind the scenes and how they used After Effects to do some of the masking for the blue screen shots.
Yeah, and that was, it seemed more that was kind of like mock-up stuff, though. That wasn't final product. I don't think, when it comes to 3D stuff, I know Adobe's awesome and everything, but Adobe's not 3D. They don't really try and be 3D. That's not what they do. So I don't think the products were used that much for some of those things. But
He did say Photoshop was used for all the texture.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right, okay. Yeah, so that's really cool. And the mock-ups and all those things, they talked about how they set that all up. So that's really cool. And I think any company that's doing anything in the creative industry has to use some Adobe product at some point. It just, you can't get away from it, especially if you have to interface with anybody else doing anything creative.
Right. Exactly.
I mean,
right.
They are the industry standards, but that doesn't mean that Adobe powered the whole movie like they kind of made it sound they did, but no.
Now, if they wrote it in Adobe Story.
Oh, they might have wrote it.
Yeah.
Adobe Story was created for James Cameron, I'm sure.
They said they used InDesign.
They did.
With some of the publication stuff they did.
They used Kinect. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was an interesting story.
I want to know.
I almost don't believe that part.
Oh, really?
I think it should have been, we tried to use Kinect. The audio didn't work, and so we had to do it over the phone.
Exactly.
Oh. Where's the Connect team when you need them?
Well, wow. I actually got to speak with Peldy, who's actually going to be at my session the last day of Max, and he talked about something that was really interesting. He said, "Did you know that Connect runs in something like Flash 5? It's like an old version, and it still runs perfectly fine in it."
Yeah.
So that, and then I'm like, "Oh, well, that explains a lot of the problems. Is it's not designed necessarily to run in the latest." So hopefully, we'll see an updated version of Connect that will fix all of our problems and make us all happy. So hopefully.
And the Flash Player on the iPhone, right?
Yeah, and Flash Player on the iPhone.
Flash Player on the iPhone.
I love how the Pre's like, "We've got it. We've got Flash. We're better than the iPhone." Poor
please,
Palm Pre.
Please use our sucky phone.
Oh, ouch.
I just don't like the form factor.
I know, yeah.
The whole slide up to the in like grained keyboard thing. Yeah. No.
Have you seen Gizmodo? They used it to cut cheese because it has this
sharp edge on it. Yeah.
And so they're like, they call it the cheese cutter, and it's hilarious.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I did see a friend of mine has a Hero, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, the Hero actually is one of the first HTC phones that don't look like absolute crap. So, HTC makes some good phones, but some of them look like...
I thought the Touch Diamond looked pretty cool.
Yeah, but the G1, I'm like, I love Google, I love the potential for Flash on a phone, but that phone is ugly.
That's what I haven't seen yet here. Usually Adobe brings like a whole slew of like phones. Are they back?
They're back there. Okay, yeah, and there were rumors that they had Flash running on the Pre. So although that's not public yet, there's not a public version or anything, that they have a version
there's
that's
some,
out there.
There's some cheese up on the snack table we could take back there, too.
Now, I noticed that you suddenly got very quiet when we started talking about mobile devices.
Well, you know, I like my job.
Ouch. Uncomfortable territory.
Awkward.
Hey, well, as long as it's got a Qualcomm chip, we're all happy.
Yeah.
I mean, we do make some money off the iPhone, not as much as we'd like. You know, Steve, you know, buy our chips.
Buy our chips.
There are a lot of brew devices out there, though.
There are. You know, Verizon's got a ton out there. So, yeah, I mean, we, you know, the Hero looks really good. You know, the G1's a very interesting phone with its multiple stuff. You know, we want cooler and better stuff.
Right.
I think the crazy monkey has just been thrown at me. So
I think that's
one of the digital primates screaming monkeys, isn't it?
Yes.
How much did they pay you for that?
They didn't pay me at all, actually.
I like it.
I heard them kicking the boxes to hear that the other day before they unpacked them. They were over there kicking the boxes to get them to go off.
Nice.
Yeah, it was rather funny.
Well, thanks to Chris and Kevin for joining us and going through this Max keynote wrap-up. We've got another keynote tomorrow. Then we've also got sneaks, and we've got which we will take notes on feverishly because that's the one session that's not online.
Sneaks, awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not like we signed an NDA when we go into sneaks. So
nope,
we're
not at all.
We're allowed to talk about it. They're just not allowed to video it. And
we'll give you the same disclaimer.
They're not allowed
that
to make any
do.
Promises not, that it'll show.
I'll drop pictures.
Not to mention all the other happens. NDAs we've signed today.
Hey, quit spanking my monkey.
Oh. You had to go there. Wow.
Yes, I did.
All right. Well, thanks again to Leif and Zach for being here. But we're going to be here the rest of the Max, just hanging out in the lounge. We'll be recording with random people. And, we'll see you around.